This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
This is AM 580, and it's time now for us to find out what's happening on the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. With our opening report, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens and settlements there at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, September wheat opened at 6.72, down a quarter on the open. December 6.88, up 5. At the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat opened at 6.95, up 2.5 on the open. December 7.10, down 1. March 7.05, up 2. July 5.91, up 1 on the open. September corn opened at 329.5, up 2 on the open. December 347, up 2. March 361.5, up 1. May 370.25, down 3 quarters. July 380, down a quarter. December 396.5, unchanged. March of 2009, 403.5, down a half on the open. September soybeans opened at 851.5, up a half on the open. November 866.5, up a half. January 881.75, unchanged. March 894, up 1.25. May 899, down 1. July 911, down a quarter on the open. September soybean meal opened at 233, down 4 on the open. October 235.70, down 30. September soybean oil opened at 36.02, up 6 on the open. October 36.28, up 6. At the Merck, August live cattle opened at 91.40, up 37.5 on the open. October 95.27.5, up 12.5. December 98.35, up 12.5. February 98.37.5, up 17.5 on the open. August feeders open at 115.55, down 15 on the open. September 115.50, down 30. October 115.75, down 27.5. November 115.70, down 30 on the open. October lean hogs open at 69.20, down 60 on the open. December 68.20, down 47.5. February 69.60, down 40. April 70.30, down 50 on the open. And pork bellies, the August version, 74.05, down 45 on the open.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investment Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Dave. Nice to talk to you.
I want to begin in the soybean pit where we're seeing some follow-through negativity this morning. The NOVE's now at 854.5. Down 11.5, and I'm beginning to wonder, given all the talk about the rain and Dean and so on, and looking at the charts from a technical standpoint, if whether or not we might be putting a head and shoulders top, at least for now, in the November soybean chart, and if 838, if so, might be a pivot point to be keeping an eye on.
Well, we have... Yes, as you mentioned, rain and the hurricane and some additional forecast for rain. It's not unanimous as far as the weather community is concerned, but we do have something that's very definitely overriding. And it's been brought up a week ago that whenever there is a world financial crisis, it also affects the corn and soybean market in Chicago. In commodities and the world financial trade, and we're seeing a little of that spill over with this subprime crisis in interest and it is also having an effect on the commodity markets. Adding to that, we're seeing ocean freight values and barge freight values that are just almost at unrealistic values. Historically, that means there's a lot of trade and a lot of commodity movement from country A to country B. We're also basically getting the opinion that some of the rains, and when it does come in, it's going to come in more as a maintenance rain instead of a yield booster rain. And as a result of that, there is a old tale, too, that I'd like to share with you, is that, fear comes before a bottom. And then also, we're basically looking at behavioral economics. When everything there is a crisis, people take bigger margins and back away from trading because things aren't predictable, and the greatest fear, as is mentioned, comes before the bottom. And usually with a 41.5 bushel crop or smaller than that, one would think the bottom would probably come sooner instead of later if these are true, if we have seen yield reduction in the corn, bean fields in the country.
So all that you said then, take it back to the technical picture.
It's down, no doubt about it.
And if we break that, if it is a head and shoulders and we break the neckline, would it act like, do you think, a traditional head and shoulders with the distance from the neckline to the top, the potential loss? And then I guess you would look at that gap left over back in January at 720 to 725.
Well, and I think even Glenn Ring's talking about 750. But one of the things that you do have to talk about is, and this is where you can, the old adage about there's a lot of ships at the bottom of the ocean and they're all filled with one thing, charts, that one of the things you have to realize is that there is an economic value at some point in time. And we will see with this kind of a carryover, unless we just have an enormous economic crisis, some values come in. I really don't think we'll see the $8 level as far, broken by very far, unless there is some, substantial rains. The other factor that we want to talk about here in the soybean and the technical situation is we're looking at a situation where the Federal Reserve is going to have to take some major action in order to quiet the world, economic deals, because not only are you seeing a housing crisis, you're going to see, the economy slow down because of banks will require better asset sheets and better financial deals just to get loans on to make work. And, they don't want to see massive amounts of unemployment and things like that. And it also affects governments because if the economy does slow down, then the tax revenues slow down and you have a massive layoffs in the world economy. So it is a big economic engine, and I think that as long as we do have some very strong energy prices in the world, that does have a tendency to stabilize, I think, our corn and soybean prices a little higher than what people think.
Turn your attention to the corn, where it looks to me anyway like we're kind of in a range around 335 to 360.
Yeah, and, the Chicago crowd has been very comfortable all season about the whisper of a bigger crop, and we have seen talk of that. When we talk to our Iowa friends, the 180 crop's probably a 175 bushel per acre crop, and the 178 in Illinois is probably even lower than that today. We do feel that the heat has done some major damage as far as yield is concerned. We are also picking up that corn, of course, is an energy crop, and we continue to see with the interest rate problem, some slowdown and maybe some of the new ethanol plants on the burner because they're harder to finance. So all these add up, but the one equation we do get from basically farmer observation is that people probably will plant less corn next year and increase their soybean acres, and as a result of that, that's also a stabilizing influence to the corn economy.
And increase their wheat acres as well?
That's right.
Go ahead and look at the wheat. There's a lot of talk about trying to go make a run to 750. Do you think that in the next 6 weeks until South America crops come online that this is possible?
Well, we did talk about last week the enormous feed grain movement from non-GMO grains, you know, like from South America to Europe, and we do know that it's extremely efficient. They do have the ability to import volumes of grain to take care of that issue. It is a basically a food wheat issue, and we are starting to get those values pretty high. We also get the feeling that possibly that there are rumors in the marketplace about some off-quality wheat being hedged at some very unrealistic levels, and of course some margin calls as a result of that. We also get the feeling that maybe some people have had some corn wheat spreads on and they haven't worked very well. But the wheat market is getting very expensive, and we are looking at people planting more wheat next year, and it is profitable, and basically the wheat that's being growing at these conditions right now look basically favorable as well. The big function of the wheat market is to basically get it high enough and expensive enough that we do see the new export demand slow down. And, of course, right up until now it's been very strong, Dave. And it's just a guess, and it's always dangerous when you do much guessing with wheat above $7 a bushel.
Thank you much, Paul.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investment Services. You're listening to WILO Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.